Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there, Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Sean Carey here in Sunbury. Steve will be there in the Sunbury Motors studio soon. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And our website, stevejonesshow.com. Got 3 months of shows archived there. If you want to flip back and replay an interview, you can do that. And also, subscribe to our podcast. We're on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show, hit subscribe. Shows will drop to your smartphone and tablets. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. Going to be a good listen today as Steve strikes up a conversation with a longtime friend, the one and only Johnny Holiday. Decades, 40-plus years, the voice of Maryland basketball. And, of course, tomorrow night it'll be Maryland at the Nittany Lions, and we'll have that for you from the Bryce Jordan Center here on WKOK and online at WKOK.com. Pre-game will be at 6, and they will tip at 6:30 at the BJC. So we will hear from Johnny and get the Terrapins' take going into tomorrow's matchup. And we'll also get some other Maryland perspective as we roll through the next day or two here on the show. And we're also hoping to get some more NFL Combine conversation into the mix. And actually, we're about what? We're definitely under 3 weeks away from the start of a brand new NFL season, and that means free agency not far away. Now, speaking of the National Football League, the competition committee is meeting in Indianapolis. Of course, that is the location of the scouting combine, which is a couple of days away. They have spent the past 2 days discussing present and future of replay review, but no consensus about whether to change it. For the most part, conversations at the combine have rehashed previously rejected ideas. In recent years, the committee and most owners have rejected plans that would expand replay by adding new categories of eligible plays or adding an eighth official to each game's review. One variable that could be in play is whether a missed pass interference call in the NFC Championship game will add any urgency to adopt previously rejected plans. Officials' failure to flag LA Rams cornerback Nickell Robey Coleman in the fourth quarter had a direct impact on the Rams' 26-23 OT victory over the Saints. So we'll keep that in mind as we roll through and get closer to the NFL scouting combine and as those meetings wrap up in Indianapolis. Hey, we've got a big baseball contract to tell you about. 8 years, $260 million, going to Nolan Arenado, the Colorado Rockies. Rockies locking up their all-star third baseman with a new deal. That'll last through the 2026 season, so what they'll do is they'll tear up his current deal, which had 1 year left on it. Discussions took months to finally come together in recent days. Arenado is 27, four-time all-star. He's won a gold glove in all six of his major league seasons and led the National League in home runs 3 times, including last year. So if you break down his annual average of salary, he is going to have a higher salary than Manny Machado. So his average salary, Arenado's average salary is now at $32.5 million. So $2.5 million more than Machado. And, of course, the clock keeps on ticking for Bryce Harper. And
imagine if you won the Silver Sow Award for play-by-play.
Yeah.
I don't know how much money could have commanded then.
More music, less Nessman.
More music, less Nessman. The great lines of all time on WKRP in Cincinnati. Now, I guess they cannot. Maybe on TV land they can now. But they could not show WKRP in Cincinnati on reruns because of the music. Because they'd have to get it cleared. You know, ASCAP, BMI, whatever it may be.
There is a channel out of Wilkes-Barre, and it's part of the Sinclair Group, MeTV.
Yeah.
And they run they run KRP weeknights.
That show is funny.
Oh, I know. Never gets old.
Venus Flytrap, Tim Reed. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. That used to be you.
That's true. My first full-time on-air gig. Yeah, it was a 7 to midnight gig on a classic rock station.
I mean, not everybody has had a career of the biffer.
No. When I first told you that was Kevin Herr, the Suits' nickname here in the mid-90s, I think you about fell out of your chair. Thankfully, we weren't in a car and you were driving when I dropped that bit of knowledge to you, or we would have been...
in a ditch.
Have flipped over numerous times and our spouses would be wondering where we got to and...
He told me that. Like, you have to be kidding me.
About that time, too, he was doing sports updates on 94KX, so it fit. The nickname.
As the Biffer?
Yeah. Yeah.
As the Biffer. I just can't.
Yeah, back then, that was Tom Morgan's first go-around as our morning show host over on 94KX, and yeah, Kev would stay for the mornings and do sports. You know, sports with the Biffer. So prior to the Suit, the Biffer.
Now he's in management.
Oh yeah! How about that line he dropped in our production in our weekly meeting this morning? We were talking about digital media finances, and I had to share that little overheard and quotable with you.
Go ahead. You can tell him the quote, and you can tell him my response.
Should I? Okay.
Oh, sure.
Well, we were talking about various sponsorships here and there, and of course, the concern is to stay above water. That's what we want to do. But of course, that's
absolutely.
You know, we have
absolutely
to, you know, gotta keep the lights on and the transmitter humming. You know,
absolutely.
So, you know, we just have to make sure that that money doesn't move sideways.
Now you can give him my response.
A quote from an expert on the subject. Yeah, fast reply from you.
That's what bothers him about me. It's very quick and to the point.
Just when I thought I got him. No, no.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyways, that'll be your one takeaway from today's show. The Biffer.
Yeah. Oh, God, the Biffer. Unbelievable. All right. Sports. Obviously, that's what we talk about. We'll talk about a wide variety of things today. We'll talk about Penn State, Maryland basketball today. We got Johnny Holliday's on the show today. But you know what? But I'm getting concerned about the direction of sports. And what's concerning me is there's so much me these days when sports used to be the ultimate we. Now, I understand there are contracts. You do have to take care of yourself. I've got that. But here's where I'm struggling a bit with sports right now. And it's as follows. And it runs both ways. So this is not just one, you know. Let's take Anthony Davis. So let's take it from the management side. You know, Anthony Davis played 20 minutes last night. They did not play him in the second half. They haven't been playing him in the fourth quarter. Now, why is that? Well, guess what? They're not playing him because they don't want his trade value to go down because of a potential injury. Okay. So all these people are paying money. They get a little slice to see him, and then that's it. Okay. Now let's flip it to the other side. Nick Bosa. No question he gets injured. Not hurt, he's injured. And the thought was, with his injury, post-surgery, that he probably would be back maybe around November 1st. Maybe the 8th. And instead, 2 weeks later, he goes, nah, I'm going to get ready for the draft. In other words, not quite. People don't like when I say that, but exactly what did he do? He quit. Right? Didn't stay. Yet, you know what? What's interesting about him? Remember what they do now. You're allowed to go back and get your degree. You're allowed to go back and get your degree. And you don't have to pay for it. But he quits in the middle of the season. So he's still going to be allowed to go back and get his degree? Really? Quitting mid-season, he's still going to be allowed to go back and get his degree? I don't think so. Not in my world. You want to get it, go someplace else. It seems like when we turn around, we get a dozen people, I'm not going to play in the bowl game. I got to get ready for the draft. I'm like, really? I can tell you right now, Will Greer can take years to get ready for the draft. He's still not going to be a very good NFL quarterback. His footwork's too lousy. This is where we are now. We have people like not participating. I'm not going to play because it's better for me. So it's better not to play anymore. I just want to make sure. When is it okay for you to play again? And now we're going to have a long debate about whether or not athletes on the college level should be paid. And I completely understand the argument when it comes to look at all the, you know, if this is a football men's basketball argument. This is not an any other sport argument, okay? I don't want to hear from the fan, well, wrestling sells out. Well, guess what, you know, okay? So instead of losing $2 million, you'll lose $1 million, okay? So in other words, wrestling, just take that off the table, okay? They don't generate any money. But football and men's basketball do. They generate money. So that's going to be the argument, especially the NCAA tournament coming up. Like, hey, guys like Zion Williamson should be making money. The argument is the university makes all this money off of their back and so forth. You know, at some point, a stand has to be taken on all this. You want to make money? First of all, the NBA should just say 18-year-olds. You want to make money? Okay, go to the NBA draft. If they keep the one-and-done rule in place, go to China. Go to Europe. Go to the G League. Okay? Go to the XFL. Okay? At some point, I think somebody's got to take a stand on the college side and say, you know what we do? We give scholarships and stipends. That's what we do. If you do not like the fact that we're giving scholarships and stipends and room and board and everything like that, go someplace else. Go to the XFL. Go to the G League. Go, you know, whatever. If that's not your bag and you want to go make money, you want to make it now, there are alternatives. Use them. But here at our level, we give out scholarships and stipends. That's what we do. I think at some point somebody's got to take that stand and say, just look at everybody and go, you know what? The heck with this paying student-athlete thing. Guess what? We give out scholarships and stipends. That's what we do. Now, if colleges were the only alternative, all right, I think I could buy into the argument a little bit more. But you do have the option, like Emmanuel Mudiay did, to go and play a year in China, then enter the NBA draft. Like, was it Blazy? It was going to go to Syracuse. He went to the G League this year. Stunned Jim Boeheim. But he went to the G League instead of going to Syracuse. The XFL starts next year. They are not going to adhere to the three-year rule. I can tell you that right now. The college model has worked for everybody forever. Yeah, let's bring it back to wrestling. You have wrestling scholarships. There's only 9.9 of them, but you have wrestling scholarships because the money's available courtesy of the money from football, basketball. Same thing with volleyball. Same thing with softball. Same thing with baseball. You have that available because that's the model you have that helps out the greater good in sport. You know, more people are helped out in this model than the model that's being put to, that's being espoused, especially by the media, that this group of individuals, and you know, it's always the star that, like, oh, why, you know, how much is Zion Williamson worth? I don't know. How much is the O'Connell kid worth that hit threes the other night for them? And the O'Connell kid's going to end up playing maybe in Europe, but that's going to be his pro life. I mean, he'll be a 4-year guy at Duke. So will Jack White. But I'm starting to get a bit confused here by the fact that I don't understand why somebody on the college level looks around and says, look, we give scholarships and we give stipends. It's what we do. If they don't want to be a part of the model, they can then go to Europe. They can then go to China, Australia, New Zealand, the G League. Okay? Or, if it's a football player and they don't want to wait 3 years, go to the XFL. But this is what we do. Okay? We give out scholarships and stipends. That's our model. And they're bending over backwards every 2 seconds trying to adjust and adapt the model all the time. And I'm wondering if, in the end, that's not the prudent thing to do. I mean, it disgusts me, the idea that Nick Bosa can go back to Ohio State and still and have the university pay for his to get his degree. You quit. Okay? Mid-season, you quit. You're done. Okay? You want to get your degree? Pay for it. We have an admissions department.
You mentioned Zion Williamson a little bit ago, and you have some prominent NBA legends like Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal saying, hey, stay. You know, don't quit. Don't fold now. You know, this is your one and only chance to play at a top-notch, you know, collegiate atmosphere before you eventually go pro, and then you will make your money.
Giannis Antetokounmpo from the Milwaukee Bucks is a bona fide star now. I think we'd all agree with that, right? He started in the NBA when he was 19. He did not make his first All-Star game till his fourth year. Now, in his sixth year, he's now in his sixth year in the NBA. Last year, I think he became a bona fide star, and now we're seeing him on TV commercials. Well, it took him that long to get to this point. That's fine. He worked his way to this point, and he's worked hard to get to this point. Zion Williamson, the second he decides to turn pro, is going to be marketing gold for whatever shoe company he goes with, and probably advertising group. And a big reason why is because we have now watched him play at Duke for a year, and he's established himself as a face of basketball because he played at Duke. I can tell you right now, if he played in China, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, or the G League, right, he'd be in the same spot Giannis was. He'd have to work his way through. But because he went to Duke for a year, he has himself on the path to marketing gold. There's more to this than just, you know, not everybody is in his position. Oh, and by the way, I've never heard him talk, ever. So we don't know how he feels about any of this stuff. Everyone talks about the you got to hit the strike while the iron's hot. Okay, well, let's take the Barrett kid. He had 30 the other night against Syracuse. He could get 12 tonight against Virginia Tech. Maybe he should have shut it down after the Syracuse game. His marketing level's never going to be higher. Is that where we are in sports now? It's never going to be higher, so I'm going to shut it down, go to the, you know, and just get ready for the next level. I'm telling you, we're headed down that path where you're going to see people quit mid-season when the season goes down the drain. We're 4-5. I'm shutting it down. I'm going to get ready for the draft. I'm not going to risk getting hurt. Not so we can go to the Holiday Bowl. You think I'm kidding? Okay, we're going to get to a point where somebody's going to have a 40-point night. They're going to look around and go, you know what? I'm going to get ready for the draft. I don't want to get hurt. Meanwhile, Carl Anthony Towns got hurt going to his game the other night in a car accident. Fortunately, thank goodness he's all right, and he played very well last night. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Next half hour, Joe Rutter from the Pittsburgh Tribune will talk about the Steelers and the Combine. Final half hour, Johnny Holiday, the legend himself, joining us on the show. In his 40th year as the play-by-play voice of Maryland. Yes, that means I'm the baby of the crew. And Jeff Ehrman, 24/7 Sports, about to join us to talk about Penn State Maryland basketball tomorrow night in the Jordan Center. Jeff, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, let's start with this. Obviously, they've played very well. What have been some of the common threads that you've seen from game to game that leads to Maryland's basketball success? Because I thought the win at Iowa last week was about as impressive a win as I've seen in the last month by anybody.
Yeah, I mean, the most, I guess for common threads, the most consistent thing about them is that they rebound really well. Last I checked, they were second in the country in rebounding margin. That might have changed since then, but they're still top. They're getting a lot of contributions from their freshman class, several of those guys are starting and playing big minutes and consistently producing. And then obviously the biggest thing is Bruno Fernando has transformed into, you know, a borderline All-American kind of guy who is pretty much an automatic double-double at this point. He has 9 double-doubles in the past 10 games.
I want to get to Fernando for a moment because he put his name into the draft last year. And if I recall correctly, he actually got hurt. And if he hadn't gotten hurt, he might not have come back. How did you view that situation?
Well, I think the biggest thing was that he realized he wasn't going to be a first-round pick. There was no chance, and there was really even a chance he wasn't going to go in the second round. You know, he was raw last year. He had some really good games, especially towards the end of the year, but he also disappeared at times and, you know, hadn't really shown off the sort of passing ability and other things he's shown this year. So I think he would have gone clearly, like most guys, if he was a first-rounder, but he made the smart decision, whereas a lot of guys will still stay in the draft at that point, even if they know they're not going to be a first rounder. And, you know, he's improved arguably as much as anybody in the Big Ten or maybe even in the country.
What has he meant to Jalen Smith?
Well, the thing is with Jalen Smith, you know, he's about as tall as Bruno, but he's nowhere near the same universe in terms of strength and physicality. So by having Bruno down there in the paint, you're not relying on a skinny freshman to try to bang down there who's, you know, he's been overpowered at times trying to play at his weight. That's something he really has to work on heading into next year. So, yeah, that would have been a scary thought if Bruno had left and Jalen Smith was their main post guy. This season would be taking on a way different tenor than it has.
Anthony is one of those guys that is a really good player, but he's a four-year college player. What is his experience, man?
Well, as you know, college basketball, nothing's as important as point guard play. So to have a guy like Cowan, who's now started for 3 years, ton of experience, you know, he just passed Joe Smith on the school scoring list. You know, that's huge, especially for a team that's playing so many freshmen. You know, the other guards who are playing, you have one sophomore, Daryl Morcell, and the rest of the guards are all freshmen who are playing.
Wiggins, Ayala,
exactly.
Smith, they're all talented.
All freshmen, yep. That's right. And so, you know, Cowan still hasn't been quite as consistent as you'd like from a guy with his experience, but he's one of the top point guards in the Big Ten, and you know the interesting thing is you'll get him back next year with all of these other guys except for most likely Fernando, and so you know he'll grow together with these other guards. Their backcourt should be one of the better ones out there next year.
It's interesting you say that. You don't think Smith is going to go? Because with Smith,
no, I don't
Smith,
think so.
Smith was one of those guys that early on people labeled that way, and you know sometimes even though you may not have the greatest year, they still go.
Yeah, you're right, and you never say never. Maryland's had a few guys in recent years who've left, even when they weren't first-rounders. Melo Trimble, obviously, the biggest name. Robert Carter, Diamond Stone. So you never – I think that his parents know the game well enough and are invested enough in the process that they'll understand he needs another year. And that always comes with the asterisk next to it that, you know, he could go to the combine, have a great day, and – rise up the ranks. Last year, Kevin Herter, nobody was talking about him as a first rounder.
Right.
He went to the combine, had one great day, and he ended up the 19th pick. But with all that said, I think that most likely Jalen will be back.
Okay. Now let's get to the 3-point shooting on this. Actually, the offensive part of it. Maryland's offensive numbers at home are really, really good. Their offensive numbers on the road are not. Their points per possession, there's a dramatic difference between their points per possession at home versus on the road. Why is that? Is it just comfort, or are there other reasons?
I think it's mostly just that they have one of the better home court advantages out there.
Yes,
you know, that crowd at Xfinity Center is loud and supportive, and you know that's the reason why they haven't lost any Big Ten games at home all year, and it's like that every year. So that crowd always lifts them. That's pretty much a constant. On the road, you know, it's still, like we said, it's a young team. They're the fifth youngest team in the country in terms of experience.
Yes.
So that plays into it. And they've really relied on their defense. I mean, even with that said about the disparity between their offense at home and on the road, they're still, I think, 5-4 on the road in Big Ten play, which is their best road record, probably under Turgeon, I think, on the road in conference.
In fact, here's the oddity about that. I just talked about their offensive numbers, much, much better at home than on the road. But their points per possession defensively actually is better on the road than it is at home.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so they've done a really good job of relying on that on the road. And some of that's probably, you know, the road schedule maybe hasn't had quite as many tough games. Although recently, they had Michigan and Iowa on the road. And Wisconsin before that. So, yeah, they've done a good job of doing what they can to get by on the road. I mean, I think last year they won maybe two Big Ten road games.
Right.
So it's interesting that such an inexperienced team has been so much more effective on the road.
They're also a low-possession team. I think people assume when they see what Maryland's done this year that, no, they must be up and down the floor with the guys they have. But they're a low-possession team. Does that put a lot of pressure on their efficiency?
Yeah, it's interesting you asked that because the amazing thing about this team is they, efficiency-wise, when you look specifically at turnovers, they're terrible. I mean, they've got one of the worst turnover margins in the country. They turn the opponents over very rarely, and they've committed more turnovers than their opponent in every Big Ten game so far.
It's amazing,
but somehow they keep getting by with their shooting and defense and rebounding. So you would think for a team that, like you said, doesn't run much you know, turnovers would be a killer, but so far they haven't been. But, you know, that's something come postseason that's really going to be worth following, because, you know, you can't turn the ball over like that, especially in one-and-done format, and expect to get by.
All right, now we've seen that with Penn State, with Dredd, Miles Dredd and Rozier Bolton, and to some extent Myron Jones. They really kind of right mid-January. Normally February 1st is that wall time, as you and I both know. Mm-hmm. But they kind of in the mid part of January is like the look they were hitting the wall. And then eventually they bust back through again. Boom. And they did. With Wiggins, Ayala, and Smith, have you seen any point where you felt like they were nearing the wall? And if so, when was the breakout point?
No, you really haven't. I mean, Smith's been up and down throughout the season, so it's hard to say saw any recent performance necessarily.
Right.
While he'll have, you know, 16 and 9, and then he'll have 5 points in the next game. And Turgeon's been playing more of a four-guard look lately, so that's been a little less playing time for him. But I couldn't really attribute any of it to a wall. He's just an inconsistent freshman.
Right.
Wiggins has actually played better lately than he has all season. And Ayala hasn't really hit a wall. He was sick for the last game, but overall he's been a really consistent guy. You know, he continues to lead the team in three-point shooting, which is maybe the biggest surprise of the whole season, because he came in and not at all known for his shooting, more known as a playmaker and driver.
What do you think of Penn State now? They've won four of their last six, two in a row. What do you think of them and the challenge of this game?
I think it's a really neat for Maryland. I've been telling everybody who will listen, you know, Penn State's playing so much better lately. It's, you know, it really kind of dumbfounded me throughout the year, 10 or 0-11, whatever it was, starting in Big Ten play. With that kind of talent, with those three veterans that they have, that they could be, the results could be so poor, but they're playing a lot better. To win at Illinois is a deceivingly good win, considering how much better they've been playing lately. Obviously, the Michigan win, they led coast to coast. So, you know, I haven't even seen what this point spread is, but I would be very surprised if Maryland's favored by any more than maybe 3 points. And Penn State's played them tough pretty much every game between the two. Maryland's been lucky a few times to sneak out wins, including the one earlier this season, and then 2 years ago, the one with Diamond Stone, where they needed 30-something points from him to win. So I'm looking for a really close game.
Yeah, 39.
Yeah.
I was a witness. What do you think of the league this year?
I think the league is, you know, everybody else is saying it, and I agree. I think it's the best in the country. It's not. It doesn't have, obviously, the heavy hitters like Duke and North Carolina at the top. Maybe you could have put Michigan State in that class before they had the injuries. But I think top to bottom, it's a great league. You look at the teams like Penn State and Illinois who struggled, and those are still pretty talented teams that could beat a lot of teams out of conference. Even Minnesota is not a bad team, and they're struggling. The only really bad team is Northwestern, although I guess Nebraska has been playing really poorly also. But I think, you know, this to me is the best Big Ten team I've seen, conference I've seen since Maryland joined, which obviously isn't a really large sample size, but it's a really deep and talented conference, and I'm really interested to see if they can make us look like we're correct once the tournament starts.
Right. What's the buy-in of Maryland fans to the Big Ten right now? I mean, you know, it's the long-term deal. I mean, it's the way it is, but
yeah,
that doesn't mean the fans have to buy into it.
I think most of them have gotten used to it. I don't know if they're, like, doing cartwheels about it. It's still an unusual fit, obviously, geographically and socially. You know, Maryland playing Iowa or Minnesota are just, you know, Penn State or Rutgers, those are more natural. Even in Michigan, you know, there's a lot of Michigan alums in the D.C. area, so there's some similarities. But then, you know, some of these schools are total misfits. So they haven't been able to find a rival. That's a big thing. That's got to come naturally. Regionally, Penn State and Rutgers make the most sense, but those are, you know, Rutgers is struggling perpetually, and Penn State's a football school. So most of them are in. I think the old school fans, you still see people complaining or, you know, being sentimental, wishing they could be back in the ACC. But I think more so than anything, it just comes down to the results. If Turgeon wins a Big Ten tournament or they have a big run, then maybe it'll feel more like they've officially transitioned. But because all the big-time success happened in the ACC, maybe it still doesn't feel quite official yet.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, they're still, you know, longtime fans here. And Penn State's been in the conference now 26, 27 years.
there's still longtime fans here that miss the days of playing Syracuse, Pitt, West Virginia. You know, now Maryland's in now, but they miss that. Yeah, and they say it.
Well, those people really don't like change.
Those are stubborn.
Those people are really stubborn.
I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you.
I usually
just sit there and nod, like, yeah, I understand. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah, most people probably couldn't even tell you what Penn State was in before the Big Ten. But, yeah, there's still a lot of people longing for those old days, especially because, you know, of those vintage years with the early on with bias and then later and obviously the national championship, yeah. The Juan Dixon years. But for the most part, I think people have made the adjustment.
Here's a little slice for you. I actually broadcast Lenny Bias's first game at Maryland.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I hope you got a picture or a ticket stub or something from that.
Nothing. I mean, I probably...
You had no reason to know.
I mean, he scored 10 points. Penn State won the game.
Yeah, you had no way of knowing. That's amazing.
Yeah. That just means I'm old, man. All right.
I wasn't going to say it.
That's okay. There's thousands in this audience. Well, there's probably like 8 people in the audience. But they all, he's old. All right. Hey, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me.
All right. It's true. They did Len Bias's first game. It was the Baltimore Civic Center, November of 82. And we'll come back with more in a moment. Johnny Holiday, final half hour. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. Joe Rutter is going to join us on the Pittsburgh Tribune on the NFL Combine next half hour. Johnny Holiday, final half hour. Sports updates from the Biffer every hour on the hour between midnight and 5. No? Was I wrong about that?
Back in the day, those hours were legit for the Biffer.
Who again had one of the great quotes in American business this morning.
Don't let your dollars go sideways.
Normally, I would bypass a comment like that, except I do not bypass comments from experts. All right, so. And he's been an expert in his life of having the money go sideways. All right. Nolan Arenado, 8-year deal with the Colorado Rockies. It's amazing since the Machado thing, some pocketbooks have opened up. The 8-year deal is a total of, what, $260 million. Right now, Dustin Pedroia is on an 8-year deal with the Red Sox. Nothing yet on Bryce Harper.
One thing I forgot to mention about the Arenado deal earlier in the hour, it's an opt-out after 3 years, whereas Machado was 5 years.
5 years. Well, I mean, David Price was opted out after 3 years. And he looked around at the end of his third year where they just won the World Series, and he's looking at $31 million coming up. I don't need to opt out. Because you may end up with less. And age does mean something in the league, as we were talking about, a 26% drop in players 33 or older. At the NFL meetings, which are in Indianapolis, John Mara, the co-owner of the Giants, says he is not seeing a lot of support for making changes in the NFL instant replay. And I have... I've said that from day one, that there's going to be all this emotional talk after the New Orleans game. I said, in the end, they're not going to do anything about it, nor should they. There's one penalty that you can review, and that's whether a quarterback crossed the line of scrimmage or not, making a forward pass. But I don't want penalties to be reviewed. Just play. Every time I turn around, they say, we're going to stop, we got to stop, we got to stop, we got to stop. Just stop stopping. All right, now you're going to check to see if that's pass interference?
No. And my goodness, you're going to be able to look at the thing and realize they're grabbing each other's shirt tails all the way down the field.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.